If you are ever tempted to think, I could never be a mentor, I've messed up too much, Nancy Lindgren has this encouragement for you.
God can use your story, and people need to hear your story, and they're going to be able to relate to you more than they're going to relate to me, because you have a different story than I do. So we need to share our stories with power.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth, author of Adorned. For September 20th, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. Think for a moment about the people who've influenced you. I hope you can name a few individuals, people who've helped you grow into a different, better person than you would have been had you not known them.
Wow, I could name more than a few individuals. I'm so thankful for so many people who influenced me in my childhood, in my teen and young adult years, middle age, and even now as an older woman, friendships are so key. God made us social creatures, and He uses relationships with others to shape us. Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. We can't help but be formed and influenced by the people we hang out with. Our guest today understands how important it is that we be intentional in our friendships. Nancy Lindgren is a national speaker, an author, and the founder and CEO of More Mentoring. Her desire is to inspire women to love and encourage others through what she calls prayer-focused mentoring. I love that. And she's going to explain more of what she means by that concept. Nancy has authored or co-authored a series of 7 books called Together, a mentoring guide for mentors and mentees. She has over 35 years of experience in mentoring, and she loves coaching those who want to grow in this whole area of mentoring relationships. Nancy and her husband Mark are empty nesters. They live in the mountains of Colorado, where she says, life is a little sweeter. Not long ago, Nancy sat down with Bob Lapine, who's the chairman of the Revive Our Hearts Board of Directors, and they talked about prayer-focused mentoring.
Did you have a significant influential mentor or mentors in your life who helped guide you spiritually?
Yes, absolutely. My mentor right now is Fern Nichols, who is the founder of Moms in Prayer International, and I've been a part of that ministry for about 27 years. And so I remember just watching her on, not only on stage, but behind the scenes and how she treated waitresses. And she just was the most godly woman I had ever met. And she had such an influence in my life. So I pursued her. And I remember still the moment I picked up the phone to call her and ask if she'd be my mentor. She didn't answer the phone that day. And I hung up and said, I could never ask this godly woman to be my mentor. And I waited 6 years to make another phone call. And I just kept coming up, ask her to be your mentor. And so I called her again, and she answered, and she said yes. And so now we're meeting on the phone once a month for 1 hour, and we pray together, and I ask her questions and learn from her. And I just love being around her because she loves Jesus so much. It just makes me love Jesus so much.
I remember somebody asking me once if I would mentor them, and I thought, I'm not sure what your expectation is or what my job description would be. So I think one of the reasons we're a little intimidated either being asked or asking is we're not sure exactly what are we asking for when we ask somebody to be a mentor?
Yeah. Well, the first time someone asked me to be a mentor, I mean, I was scared and it's like, what are her expectations? I had those exact same thoughts. And so I just prayed about it and just said, Lord, do you want me to do this? And what does it look like? And He said, do it. And so I invited her over to my house. And of course, I brought my stack of Bible studies and books and all the things I thought she wanted to do together. But really, when it came down to it, she just wanted to be with me. She wanted another mom who was a little further down the road than she was. She was really nervous about her daughter going off to kindergarten, and she wanted to know how I handled it. And I listened to her. I loved her. We just stepped into each other's worlds, formed this relationship, and then we prayed about everything. And the more we continued to meet, the more we saw God answer our prayers. And I just thought, this is so simple. It's not that hard. And look what God is doing and the impact he is making. And that's when the realization came to me, I need to be sharing this with other people. Like, we can do this. I think we think of being a mentor as such this lofty thing, and the definition feels really big, you know, to give advice, to have all the answers. And I just don't see it that way. I see it as coming alongside another person and pointing them to Jesus, and you show them what it looks like to love Jesus. You live it out, you model it, and they want to follow you, and they want to come alongside with you. And it's this togetherness is what really matters.
There's a book that came out 5, 6, 7 years ago that you're probably familiar with called Organic Mentoring.
Yes.
And I thought that was just helpful.
Yeah.
Because if we try to formalize it, it can really go sideways, can't
yeah,
it?
I know. I really have seen, you know, I work with a lot of churches and help them start mentoring ministries. But it's been so interesting because as I've gone to those churches, it seems like about 10% of those women that I'm working with are doing the organic mentoring. They are natural at it. They are pursuing each other and they're praying together. And I'm just applauding them saying, great job. But I look at this 90% that don't see themselves as mentors and they don't feel like they have something to offer. And I want to speak into that 90% and say, you can do this. It's not hard. You can just be who you are, show up, be available. Of course, we love organic mentoring, but sometimes they need a little bit something more to help them take that first step. And that's why I've written mentoring guides to put into people's hands and say, you know what? Here's some questions you can ask each other. Here's some encouragement ideas. Here's some prayer prompts, even looking at an attribute of God and studying his character qualities and praying specifically over every need you have and just walking them through that, I think is just a little helpful tool in their hands if it doesn't come organically.
Now, I've heard every time you've answered a question about mentoring, prayer has been a part of it.
Can you tell?
Why is that so vital?
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I was a part of Moms in Prayer International for 27 years, when we would pray together, and that's moms praying for their children in schools, we started every prayer time with praise. And so I got to know God through that prayer time, and it's changed my life. And so I want to be able to be a woman who teaches other women how to pray and how to start with praise, how to get to know God, because truly, when you know your God, everything else becomes pretty small. He becomes really great, and our problems really become pretty small. And that first mentee who asked me to be a mentor, she wanted to know how to pray. And she said, Nancy, this has changed my life, and you've taught me how to pray. And so I just think if that's what we're modeling and teaching someone how to get to know God through prayer, now I see her teaching other people, other little girls how to pray, other women how to pray. And this ripple effect that goes out is an amazing thing to watch. And I really just want to be pointing people to Jesus. It's not about me giving advice. We need God, the greatest mentor we could ever have, to be a part of our lives.
What do you see about mentoring as you look at the life of Moses?
You know, I love Moses. I think he is probably one of the greatest mentors in the Bible, besides God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But I looked at him when God called him to go and lead the people out of Egypt, to go to Pharaoh. He had several things he was wrestling with. I mean, he had insecurity. His first words were, "Who am I? Who am I?" And I think mentors, we can go right there too. Who am I to be doing this? I don't have much to offer. I'm insignificant. And then I think he just felt inadequate. I think he felt insignificant. He felt small. And he didn't have the words to say, "I'm not eloquent enough." All those things went through his mind. But I think as potential mentors, we can have all those same feelings. But what I like to think of it, and in that passage in Exodus 3 and 4, when Moses said, "Who am I?" God's response was, "I am who." And so even in my mind, in those moments when I feel insecure, inadequate, insignificant, all those I words, when I'm focusing on I'm not focusing on God. And God says, "I am who. I am who has called you. I am who has chosen you. I am your defender. I will be with you." And I just want to be that kind of a person that I'm not just focused on me, but I'm focused on this great I am who.
You think everybody is called to be a mentor?
I do. I think no matter what season in life we are, I started as a teenager in high school. I had a really dear friend as a sophomore, and I was a senior in high school, and her mom died that year, and I just came alongside her, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know what to say, and I sat with her on dark days, and I listened to her a lot, and I didn't have a lot of advice. I have never been through anything like that. I didn't fix it. I just was with her. And to this day, she calls me her mentor. You know, that word wasn't even used back then. But I think it's a powerful vision of what it can look like to just come alongside another person. And so for me, I always want someone who's a little further down the road who is investing in me, but I always want to be looking back and seeing who's a little bit behind me that I can walk alongside and point them to Jesus.
So is there a difference between having a mentor and having a girlfriend?
I think so. I think so. I think a mentor, not that she's necessarily giving you advice or, you know, passing on wisdom, but she does have wisdom. She has more experience, and she does share that through her life. And so I think a girlfriend can be a side-by-side friend, and that's awesome. I have many girlfriends that we are just side-by-side, but it's really sweet to have someone who has more experience, who's walked with Jesus longer than I have, and I can learn from her. And I think it's really important to have that in our lives.
And is it important for someone who is a mentor to be conscious of the fact that that's what God's called them to, rather than just, I have a younger friend, but I'm in a mentoring relationship?
Yeah, and sometimes we don't even call it that. That's where that organic mentoring comes in. And I just believe we can have an influence. I think a mentor is an influencer, and whatever that looks like, God's written a story over our lives that we can share with other people, and it may look messy, and it may not be pretty, and I have many women who feel unqualified to be a mentor because they look at their own lives, they look at their kids that maybe aren't walking with the Lord, and they feel like, I am unworthy to pour into another woman because my life has not turned out the way they thought it would, and I just say no. I say God can use your story, and people need to hear your story, and they're going to be able to relate to you more than they're going to relate to me because you have a different story than I do. So we need to share our stories with power, and our stories go out, and they defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and so we need to be sharing our testimonies.
Yeah, my experience has been that when I'm talking about failures and weaknesses— I'm much more relatable.
Exactly. It's so true. They trust you even more if you share the hard things. And you share how God got you through. And life isn't always perfect, and it is hard. And that's where we share each other's burdens, and we're not just carrying them on our own, but we come alongside and we share.
Do you ever outgrow the need for a mentor?
Outgrow? That is a good question. I don't think so. I don't think so. And if I'm 80 years old, I want to find someone who's a little further down the path than I am and seek her out and still learn. I think if we stay teachable and we know that we don't have everything figured out no matter what age we are, then we're going to always need a mentor in our lives.
Have you had any mentoring relationships go sour?
You know, I had one that was really short. Because this woman, I don't believe, knew Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think when it came to that prayer time, even though I said, you don't have to pray out loud, I would just love to pray for you, I think that was a hard thing for her. She didn't know God. And it's hard to pray when you don't know God. And so she went quiet on me, but that's about the only one I can think of. Most everyone has just been such a blessing in my life. They've impacted me as much as I've probably impacted them. And it's a beautiful friendship that has come out of mentorship.
Have there been times when, in seeking to graciously, gently offer counsel, you've stepped on toes?
That's good. It's a good question. You know, my spiritual gift is encouragement. And so that comes really easy for me. The confronting or the challenging or the saying the hard things doesn't come as easy for me. And I think that's what helps in prayer-focused mentoring. I don't feel like I have to be God in their lives, but I can say, you know what, let's take this to the Lord. I can let Him be the one that convicts and speaks to them about those things. Not that I don't speak up, if they're really going against something that is biblical and in God's word, I will speak up when it comes to that. But in those smaller things, I really try to let God be the Holy Spirit, speak into their lives, and let him be the one that brings that conviction.
I'm thinking of a working mom who's got three kids and is going, when I get past the crazy season I'm in, then maybe I'll have space or time for a mentor.
Yeah.
What's your counsel there?
Oh, my goodness. I have such a passion for young moms, and that's where this whole ministry started. When God called me to start the ministry of more mentoring back in 2014, I said, I don't know how to do that. Show me, God, what that looks like. And he put 13 young moms in my life that first year. And so one by one by one, I stepped into their lives. They were busy. Life was crazy and chaotic, but I would show up and we would stand around their kitchen counter. We would go to the park. We would sit in their living rooms. I'd go to them and get in their world. I'd invite them to come to my house too. We'd sit around my kitchen table. We made time for it because I knew they needed it and they wanted it. And we had the kids right there at our feet, and it didn't matter. We were still going to meet together. We were still going to pray together because they were desperate to have someone who could come alongside them and just encourage, pray with them, love them right where they're at. And I could look them in the eyes and say, you're doing a great job.
So did you initiate those as opposed to waiting for them to pull on you?
You know, I think it was twosome. You know, there were times that they would ask me. There was times that I would go after them and pursue them. So I don't think it's necessarily one pursuing the other all the time. I think we all need to be looking for somebody. Who's God putting in your path? Who can you pour into? And then you just say, yes, Lord, I'm available.
The passage that always comes to mind for me is 1 Timothy 2, is that kind of where Paul says, what's been entrusted to you, pass on to faithful men.
Yeah.
That who is speaking into your life and whose life are you speaking into?
Right.
That's what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that passage, too. And I think of Titus, too, as well, for the older women to teach and train the younger women. And I think for me, those words teach and train were really intimidating. You know, I might not have the gift of teaching, and a lot of people maybe don't. And to see those words is really hard. And I think that's what can stop us in our tracks. But when I began to think of teaching and training as being modeling and living out in front of somebody else, what does it sound like? What does it look like as I walk with Jesus, as I'm a wife, as I'm a mother? I just share with them what God's doing. And I think it's that modeling that comes through. And I've had people tell me, Nancy, you've taught me how to pray. And I thought, I haven't had a whiteboard up there and have written down, here's how you do it. I've just prayed. And I've invited them to pray with me. And they've heard me talk to a loving God, a loving Father, my best friend. They've heard how it sounds so natural. And that has taught them how to pray. So if we can get over that hurdle of the teaching and training and just live out a godly life in front of them, that's really what they want.
Is there a difference between mentoring and discipling somebody?
I get asked that a lot. And I see mentorship as a form of discipleship. You know, in Matthew 28, it says, go and make disciples. And so every one of us has that call on our lives. But it can look different. And it can be a small group. It can be teaching on a stage. It can be one-on-one. I know my passion is one-on-one prayer-focused mentoring, and I feel like that is a form of discipleship. It might not be a teacher-student, you know, we're going through a deep study of something, but it's coming alongside, side-by-side. Relational discipleship is what I like to call it.
Those are some helpful thoughts on prayer-focused mentoring as a form of discipleship from Nancy Lindgren. She was talking to Bob Lapine. Her series of books on this subject is called Together, A Mentoring Guide for Mentors and Mentees. You'll find more information about how you can order that resource at a link in the transcript of this program at reviveourhearts.com. There's also a way for you to watch a video of their conversation.
Again, our website is reviveourhearts.com, and look for this episode on prayer-focused mentoring. In our remaining time today, we want to hear two quick stories that touch on this mentoring theme.
That's right. First up is a listener named Sandy. She's living out Titus II relationships within her own family.
And Sandy sat down with our team to record these comments. She says this program has been instrumental.
God has really used Revive Our Hearts and Nancy's teaching in our family, starting with me, to my daughter Lauren, my daughter Catherine, to their children. Kind of an ongoing joke in our house is we are in conversation sometimes about biblical things, and our oldest particularly would say, well, what would Nancy have to say about that? And so, you know, we know that it's from the Lord, but we also lean heavily on Nancy's teaching.
She gave us an example of how her own hunger to learn and ingest sound teaching is affecting multiple generations.
Our oldest daughter, Lauren, and her husband, Neil, live in rural Arkansas. They have a working cattle ranch where they raise show cattle. And all five kids work daily on the farm. Our oldest granddaughter, Kirsten, listens to Revive Our Hearts. And she listens while she's in the barn. And so a couple of years ago, she asked Bill and I for Christmas if we would get her a wireless speaker that she could broadcast throughout the barn while she does her work.
One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. It's one generation telling another, telling the next, telling the next.
She has it turned up. And she's listening, and she's working, and she's learning, and she's pouring out what she's learning to her siblings, and it's just very encouraging.
So every believer, every child of God, every Christian is to first grow up in Christ, and then we are supposed to become fruitful ourselves.
I love that. I need to get a speaker for my barn. Yes. Sandy shared another way she's been able to invest in her grandchildren. She said she tried to take them to a True Woman conference.
And I was a little late getting a hotel room. So instead, I decided to travel to Arkansas. Kirsten's dad, Neil, set up a computer in the living room so that we could watch the conference online. And the night before, we went to dinner and had a special dinner, just Kirsten and Lauren, her mom, and I. And then the next day, we started the conference. And we sat there for 2 days in the living room, worshiping, praying, listening, learning, and it was an incredible experience. But it was not just Kirsten and I, it was also her two younger siblings, Blair and Cora. And at the time, Blair was 8 and Cora was 6. And my heart was so touched because I just looked around and I thought, you know, what a legacy.
Sandy's desire to reach others has overflowed beyond even her immediate family.
Bill and I have been partners with Revive Our Hearts for several years now because we see the impact that it has on women around the world. And it's through that impact that the world has changed. And for generations, this is truly a generational change. To see my kids and grandkids follow the Lord is just almost unspeakable. I'm so grateful to the Lord for what He has done in our family. That's just, as a grandmother and a mom, that is just my reward. That it's just the greatest.
Oh, I love that. That's the audio from a video that you'll find linked in the transcript of this program at reviveourhearts.com. Sandy's living out Psalm 145, verse 4, which says, "One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts." And for Sandy's family, that's happening in a barn. It's happening in a living room and in conversations throughout life.
So true. And just a quick note here that Revive Our Hearts is coming out next week with a brand new 10-day email challenge specifically for grandparents. You can look for the Grandparenting on Purpose Challenge on our website. Nancy, you know, I mentioned we were going to hear two stories. To set up the second one, let me say this. We hear from listeners all the time who tell us they think of Revive Our Hearts, you, your teaching, as their mentor.
Oh, that's so sweet. I've even received Mother's Day cards from people I've never met. I gotta say, that is really gratifying and humbling too.
Well, not too long ago, a sweet note came in through the chat function on our website. Want to tell us about that?
I'd love to. A listener wrote to tell us she's been listening to Revive Our Hearts for 5 years now. She said she listens and takes notes every day while she's on the train going to work or when she's cooking in the kitchen. She said, recently I went through an especially tough time when I lost my younger brother who went to be with the Lord after a short illness. Then, only a year later, my nephew and my niece also died. Wow, can you imagine? She went on, I started questioning God until I listened to your series on Habakkuk. Now, as you may know, Habakkuk was a prophet who initially struggled with the Lord. He didn't like how God was going about things, but he chose to trust the Lord who was working behind the scenes. This woman said, I also had to trust God, believing by faith that the Lord had allowed it, speaking of the difficult things in her family. She said, He continues to console me and give me peace. Wow. So thankful that this woman shared that story. And I pray that God will continue to bring her comfort in her grief. You know, it's a huge privilege for Revive Our Hearts to be used by God to encourage listeners like these two we've just heard from. We can't take any credit for that. This is God's Spirit applying His Word to their lives. We're just channels. So thank you for supporting Revive Our Hearts. You're helping us deliver God's Word to women on trains or in barns or living rooms or kitchens or wherever all around the world.
That's right. And this month, in appreciation for your donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send you a copy of Nancy's book, Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. Just request it when you give at reviveourhearts.com/donate or when you call 1-800-569-5959. And let me just say in advance, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Your prayers and your giving mean more than you could possibly imagine. Well, on Monday, Dana, you're going to be talking about the next phrase we find in Titus 2. That's the one that says older women should teach younger women to be pure. That concept of purity has gotten trampled on a lot these days, but it's a great Bible word. I know our listeners will look forward to hearing what you have to say about that.
Thanks. And hey, I hope you have a great weekend. Go to church, worship Jesus with your church family, and then be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.